Good evening, this is How Much is the Doggy? And this is a continuation of a series of podcasts titled Thoughts on Leaving Japan for AboveTopSecret.com. Well, I had to touch on this since it was in the news recently. The topic of Japan and its sexual attitudes. The news, of course, is the move to sue the former head of Toyota America with sexual harassment. Now, while I think this particular case may be a bit of an overreaction on the part of the lady in question, I mean, one only has to look at the 200 odd million dollars she has filed for, you can see that it isn't just the rights of her fellow downtrodden Japanese sisters that she's looking out for. She's looking out for a bit of a payday as well. But having said that, she does bring to light a very important issue, and one of the formative reasons for me not wanting to raise kids here. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm far from a Puritan, and I think a healthy sexual life is integral to a healthy and healthful existence, but it is only healthy and happy, I feel, when both sides are equal and treat both each other and themselves with respect. So what I'm trying to get at here is, in Japan, a supposedly modern country, in the 21st century, women are still more or less second-class citizens. And to make matters worse, they have no intention of making their lot in life any better. Possibly because they even have no idea that their lot in life could be better. Now, the case with the Tokyo chief is really par for the course. It didn't even make the real big news here in Japan. It happens so often, it gets quite boring. I don't even need anecdotal evidence. I don't even need this newspaper evidence to believe this, because I've seen it with my own eyes, and I've been disgusted with it myself, having witnessed it many times in the course of work. While I feel a good proportion of the men in Japan I've met are really caring husbands and fathers and really nice guys, I still have met a similar size section of men to whom conquest, even inside the bounds of marriage, which means nothing, is an essential part of life. Now, of course, you'll find these kind of guys anywhere else in the world, I think, but I feel it is more or less accepted as part of life here from listening to people. And it's really sad that you know, it's accepted that when you get married that the husband will go away and have his little bit on the side as well, and nothing's thought about it. But anyway, it goes back to what I said before about how not knowing any better can keep you in a box in life. You know, if you don't read English, you can't read about how other women in the world are treated. You only get the Japanese government story about how the women in the world are treated, and that's generally, shut up, do your work, we treat you well. All the rest of the world don't get treated very well, so you have it better than you know. And they don't have any English, so they can't go and read the truth for themselves. So it's sad. But anyway, am I saying that strip clubs and pole dancing and prostitution in the West are more morally acceptable than what goes on in Japan? No, of course I'm not. I mean, as far as these things are concerned, I think that it's part of a wider conspiracy in the world to sow discontent and a feeling of emptiness and desire in men and wanting. And that's a totally different pod thread for a totally different time. It's probably one of the first ones I'll do when I get set up again in the future. But for the meantime, we'll focus on what it means in Japan. So what makes it worse for me here in Japan? It's probably how the women are viewed in society. One of the strangest stories I've ever heard was from talking to some girls down in Tokyo, some Japanese girls, And we were talking about how they met, where would they meet their friends and where would they go to meet their friends, and they'd always go out to a cafe or a restaurant to meet guys and girls. And I said, would you ever go over to someone's house? And they'd say, oh no, you can't do that. And I said, if your girlfriends go over, is that okay? And she said, oh yeah, what about one of your mates? And oh no, because when you get a man and a woman alone together in a room, they have to have sex. And that's what they told me. It wasn't like there was any choice, apparently. It had to happen. When you put a man and a woman in a room, they're going to have sex. It's going to happen. And I was just gobsmacked, and I was saying, how did you arrive at that conclusion? Is there any platonic relationship at all? I mean, is it a case of, a man in a room, if they're not related, they're gonna have to have sex? And I just thought that was so weird. But if you keep listening, it might actually make sense in about 5 minutes, but we'll carry on. Another thing, especially when you're talking about this Tokyo or Toyota case rather, is if you're a manager, the conquest, or at least the chasing of your female subordinates is taken as an added bonus of the job. It's not written in the job contract, but it's taken as, oh yeah, you're grand. They are part of your domain. You can do what you want, like Lord of the Manor. And it's even better for them when you consider that the young ladies are more concerned about buying themselves new handbags that cost $2,000, that a little bit of indignity for a few minutes is worth it, so they can get themselves the latest in fashion. And that is really sad when you're putting material objects above, yourself, when you equate, a material object, but giving yourself over to someone like that, it just there's something seriously wrong there. I could get into the whole topic of compensatory dating, which is a one of the famous Japanese euphemisms for teenage prostitution. Basically works like this. You join your teenage girl, anywhere between 15 and 17 and 18. The younger the better, apparently. And you join a telephone dating club, or you do it on the internet, or there's many, many ways to do it. And you meet salarymen who would be in their mid-30s to mid-40s, and they bring you for a date. Sounds innocent enough, only that at the end of the date, money exchanges hands, and other things exchange. Other things are exchanged, other services are exchanged, and it's was quoted in the, I'm not sure the paper, but it was quoted at one stage that 70% of schoolgirls in Tokyo were involved in this sort of carry on compensatory dating, so they could pay their mobile phone bills, buy themselves whatever, new clothes, makeup, and that's the respectable side of society. I mean, we could take a little trip down the back streets and start talking about the red light district side of town and porn. And yes, there is going to be an explicit tag on this podcast, so if this subject matter offends you, it might be a good idea to switch off now. Now, here is the one major difference, and I researched this quite a bit, and just for this podcast, honestly, and I wouldn't look at it normally, but the porn popular in Japan and the pornography popular in the West, right? What's the difference? Now, I would be of the opinion that the pornography in the West, the women seem to enjoy themselves a lot more, but most of the videos that the Japanese guys here would have shown me basically have the woman resisting, saying no, and saying, this is horrible, stop, stop, this is horrible. And it always seems to be people in positions of authority imposing their will on their subordinate female team members or whatever, you know, waiters, head waiters. I wouldn't say romancing would be the word. Coming on to how would you? I'm searching for words that doesn't make this too explicit. Basically, taking advantage of their subordinate waitresses in a restaurant. That sort of thing would be happening, and that's the tame stuff. That's the fairly tame stuff. The general feeling you get off it is that they're getting off on the whole that the woman doesn't want to do it. It's against her will, and then all you got to do is go start looking at manga, at the what they call hentai anime and hentai manga, being the comic and anime being the animation on would be cartoons and movies, and from what I've seen, and I haven't seen anything to contradict this now, the general themes are incest, rape, gang rape being a popular one, and all sorts of crimes against women. Now, I wouldn't even say women, it borders on pedophilia, and then in some cases it steps over that border, and young Japanese guys are playing these computer games, which are yet again euphemistically called dating simulators, which are nothing more than rape simulators and incest simulators, because any girl is game, and you're in that situation, and a young fella's growing up, and he's not going outside and talking to girls like you would normally in any other country in the world. He's inside with sweaty palms playing these games where the situation is that a boy and a girl are in the same room, and whatever happens, eventually they end up having sex. So these guys grow up, they go off to college, and they go off to a company, and they get a bit of money, and then the next thing, they find themselves alone in a room with a woman, and the whole statement made before about when a man and a woman go into a room together, they're going to have sex, doesn't seem so weird after all. And, you know, it doesn't seem so weird now, does it? And these guys are, they're not discouraged. And this sort of material being available quite freely is very, very hardly discouraged. I mean, it's only recently that they've started sealing the magazines in the convenience stores, the mucky ones, basically. Because when I came over here first, any kid could run in and grab a comic and grab the wrong comic by mistake, because they all look the same. Because even the innocent little comics have pictures of nubile young girls on the front cover. So it's very, very hard to not pick up one. And up until a couple of years ago, a kid could just go in and open it up and see all sorts of manners of violence and rape and all sorts of things. And there was nobody going to stop them doing that. And you even go into the government and they start talking about certain politicians make comments like, I think there was a case where some girls were gang raped last year by, it was two girls by about four guys. And I don't know the full aspect of the case. I think there was a bit of alcohol involved and a party, so you wouldn't be quite sure what the situation was, but anyway, basically these guys forced themselves upon these girls without their consent, so that is rape. And one of the local politicians commented when the case was in the news that it was good to see Japanese men with such a healthy sexual appetite. I mean How could you say something like that? I mean, it's good that they're all hearty and healthy and at least, following their natural desires. You go into the Japanese language and you see that the kanjis involved in making up the word for rape are noisy and woman. So rape is noisy woman, basically. Another interesting aspect of that case was the Japanese media went to great pains to point out that they were American football players. They were Japanese guys, but they played American football in college. Every single news report made sure to mention the fact and made sure the word American was in there as well. Because guys doing the good old Japanese baseball wouldn't do anything like that. It's the influence of that horrible American sport. That's probably what came over those guys. That and their healthy libido, as the politicians would have you know. Now, it doesn't seem to be a modern thing. It seems to be something that's been going on for quite a while. And it's a major sticking point for my argument that Japan has changed since World War II. I mean, you combine their disregard for women with their further disregard for foreigners, especially those of Southeast Asia, and one can start to see how they could do some of the things that they did in World War II. I mean, you can even look into recent cases where they've had major orgy parties busted in China. During the bubble years, they were all over the place. They were Yet another euphemism was the golfing holiday to the Philippines, where they had special lockers in the airports where you could put your golf clubs because you certainly weren't going golfing. But anyhow, so what has this got to do with the rest of us then? Why don't we just let them all alone and let them enjoy themselves? So we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, is the same sexualization of kids and young girls going on in the West, and is it a good thing? Is it something, more and more recently? Is it happening more and more? Are kids being made to grow up a lot faster than they should? The young mothers seem to be getting younger and younger every day. I mean, I had a recent discussion with someone who was chaperoning at a kiddies disco, kiddies being 5 to 6, 7 year olds, and they had a slow set, a romantic dance in the disco for 6, 7 year olds, and they were dancing with each other, which was nice. It's cute in a way, and they were, there was the occasional kiss going on as well, and that would be cute only for the fact that it was French kissing they were doing, and there was plenty of tongue action going on. And when 5, 6, 7 year olds are doing this, people, alarm bells are ringing. There's something seriously wrong going on here. There are alarm bells ringing, but is anyone listening? Well, I know you have been listening for quite a long time, so thank you very much. This is probably going to be the last podcast I'm going to do for a little while until I get settled over the other side of the world. So until then, take care, and we'll be talking to you again, hopefully very soon. Good night.